Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Just made this video just to share a little bit in terms of what we believe the Lord is saying about the season that we're in. And the ministry of the Word of God is so important. We want to build a strong foundation into our lives based on what the scriptures teach. And we really do need God to help us to lay that blueprint or that foundation really in our lives. So last week, we really were speaking about the whole idea of why revival is not enough. And we actually said there's something more. There's something called transformation. Transformation is incredibly important. And we looked at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. Well, had one of the team members read that to you this morning again, and want to just recap very quickly what Ezekiel 37 states. It's all about God speaking to his prophet, and this question is so critical, so important. It's not just an inquiry like, what do you think, Ezekiel, can I do this? Can I resurrect the dry bones and bring them back to life again? But it's actually a call to collaborate and to partner with the Lord. And we saw that there's four outcomes really that God has to do in our life or has to bring to pass in our lives in order for us to be able to go on that journey with him and see his kingdom come and his will done on the earth in our communities, wherever we may be, in our families, our businesses, and of course, in our churches and in our individual lives as well. The first thing is crisis acknowledged. You know, Ezekiel, look at these bones. What do you think? Wow, it's a pretty bad situation. And so he's calling for an acknowledgement of our brokenness. And we talked about that, how important it is that we acknowledge our brokenness. It's very essential as the first step. And then secondly, complacency is confronted. In other words, God's saying to the prophet, I want to stir up expectancy in your life again over resignation. Maybe in the past, you've just never even given any thought about this, but is it actually possible, Ezekiel, that I can use you to do something? And the truth is, we have to come to a place where our complacency or lack of believing God for what he wants to do actually changes, and we start just having that faith once again to believe the Lord for what he wants to do. And then thirdly, he calls for our cooperation to partner in his redemptive work. That's quite self-explanatory. And then ultimately, the fourth aspect here is that God commissions us for collaboration. And the difference between calling and commissioning is simply this. We can be called by God, but when we actually say, yes, Lord, I'll do this, we step into a place of authority and empowerment, divine sanctioning. And so God literally does that. He commissions Ezekiel to go beyond just saying, yes, I'm willing to partner with you, but giving him the authority, the power, the spiritual resources, all that he needs to see this move of his spirit come to pass. That goes way beyond revival, where revival simply just being, you know, kind of the spark, the initial spark, but then transformation is revival sustained so that it becomes the norm in our lives. And transformation is more of the fire that heats and shapes everything, not just a spark. You know, we don't want to see revival go out. We don't want to see it diminish. We want to see what God has planned really come to pass. So I want to continue on this topic today on Ezekiel 37. We're going to be looking at something very important, something very critical, and that is once Ezekiel began to prophesy to the dry bones, what actually happened? Well, the Bible tells us that there were some very significant things that took place in this passage. And, you know, there was a noise, there was a rattling, but the bones came together, didn't they? Bone to bone. Then there was sinew, there was flesh, there was skin, muscles, all of that. And then ultimately what ends up taking place is God breathes into these bodies and they stand up on their feet and they become an exceedingly great army. Well, we want to look at something very significant. And many of us in the body of Christ have tried to step into revival without addressing the area of brokenness in our lives. So the first aspect really is all about reparation. And what I mean by reparation, I mean by God healing us, God repairing us. And it's very interesting that these bones, notice, are very dry. And the word in Hebrew speaks of devastation and even judgment. So the idea is that God had done a work that literally had caused his people to come to their wits' end. Have you ever been there? Where it's like, wow, what is going on? Why do I feel like this? I just feel like I'm at the end of myself. Well, someone has said that when we're at the end of ourselves, we're at the beginning of God. And that's so important. So in this place where God brings us to brokenness, you know, Psalm 51 talks about how he heals the brokenhearted and the sacrifices of God are broken heart and contrite spirit. And that brokenness is not a bad thing. This brokenness brings us to a place where we acknowledge that we don't have what it takes to really move forward. And we need God to bring life into our circumstances, our situation, into our individual person. And so the idea here is there has to be a work of healing and reparation. So where am I getting this from? In the story of Ezekiel prophesying to the dry bones? Think about this. Many bones, very many, very dry, scattered throughout the floor of this valley. And these bones were bleached by the sun. I'm sure they were brittle. I'm sure that they were broken. So before these bones could come together, or at least in the process of bringing these bones together, there had to be a work of healing that took place. You could not, you know, put the weight of a body on these bones. These bones would never, in their current form of being weakened and broken and brittle, could never support the weight of a body. So even though it doesn't explicitly say that God, you know, restored or renewed the bones, there is clearly that takes place, that act occurred clearly, because these bones needed strengthened before they could come together. You wouldn't want to bring together, as I said, fragile and frail bones. This speaks of how God needs to do a work in our lives to prepare us to be used by him. So often, we just want to move into a place where we want to see God pour out his spirit. Perhaps we want to be used by God. And that's a great thing. That's a noble aspiration. But that's exactly what it is. It's aspirational. But there is a process that has to take place firstly. And that process is the healing work of God in our lives. I want to just mention to you a very important word in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 11 through 16, that's where the writer Paul speaks about the fivefold ministry. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to what? Equip the saints to do the work of ministry, to build up the church or the body of Christ. And then it continues. Talks about the unity of the faith, being one, talks about being a mature man, and that each part of the body would make its contribution. But that word equipping is very important for the equipping of the saints. It literally is a word, katartizmos, in the Greek language. It's only used that one time in the whole New Testament. But there is a derivative term, which is katartizo, that is used many times in the New Testament. It's used of God bringing creation out of disarray, out of confusion, and causing chaos to move into cosmos. It's used in so many different ways, but one of the most powerful references in the New Testament is found in Matthew chapter 4. I believe it's in verse 21. Where it actually says that Jesus was walking on the seashore, and there he found, or he saw, James and John, two brothers who were fishermen. And what were they doing? They were mending their fishing nets. Interestingly, the word translated mend is katartizo. Again, the idea of equipping, this is what I'm saying, involves mending. And there's two stories in the New Testament that I want to just highlight to us. They're both found in the Gospels. The first one is found in Luke chapter 5, and the second one in John 21. These are fishing miracles that Jesus performed. And interestingly, one of these miracles, the account in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, occurred early on in the beginning of his ministry, and the second account actually happened at the end of 3.5 years. In fact, Jesus had already been resurrected, but remember, he appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days before he ultimately ascended to the Father and stayed with the Father, where he's seated at the right hand of the Father now. So in Luke chapter 5, we read this account of how Jesus is actually steps into Simon Peter's fishing boat, and in verse 4 tells him to launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a catch. Simon answered and said, "Master, we've toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." In other words, he's saying, in all due respect, Lord Jesus, you're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. And you know what? It's not happening. There's no fish. But just to make you happy, I'll launch the nets. I'll launch the boats out and we'll drop the nets. So he does exactly that. And then we're told in verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. Now, it's interesting that the writer gives us the details about how the net was actually breaking. The net was not able to contain the just vast catch of fish. And he actually, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, documents this. Now, why did he do that? Sometimes we've heard people say, you know, the devil is in the details. May I submit to us, actually, God is in the details. God has a reason for that specific detail being incorporated into the biblical text. He's telling us that at this season, in the beginning of this time, because it goes on to say that, you know, obviously they left their fishing nets and they followed Jesus and to become fishers of men, to learn to become fishers of men. So they went onto this apprenticeship where they were mentored and trained and guess what? Equipped by Jesus, katartizmo, by Jesus. So what did that involve? It literally involved a work of repairing, reparation, mending, in other words. I want you to think about this. Before Jesus could use his disciples to advance his kingdom and to literally entrust the kingdom mission to them upon his departure from the earth, his return to the Father, he had to do this work of repairing or healing his disciples. In the natural, you would never go fishing with a torn fishing net. You always will, what? If you're a fisherman and you have your net breaks, you repair it, you mend it so you can use it for future fishing expeditions. So interestingly, that's the purpose of it. Now, I want you to look with me in John chapter 21, because here we see that the disciples are distraught. Jesus had left them. They don't know what to do. And it ends up happening that they actually propose a fishing trip. It says that Simon Peter says, "Hey guys," this is in verse 3 of John 21, "I'm going fishing." Now, interestingly, he was a commercial fisherman. We know that. So there may have been economic reasons behind Peter saying, "I'm going fishing." Perhaps he was thinking, how are we going to provide for our families? How are we going to take care of ourselves now that Jesus is no longer with us? You know, we need to do something. We need to be very practical here. So he proposes that they go fishing. And the other disciples say, "We're going with you." So they get into the boat and immediately. And that night, they catch nothing. Wow, deja vu. They catch absolutely nothing. But when the morning had now come, verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then he said, "Children, have you any food? Do you have anything to eat?" And they said, "No." Then the Lord replies, he says this, listen to this, verse number 6, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Well, 3.5 years later, the same miracle is replicated. They're trying to catch fish to no avail. It's a fruitless endeavor. It's in vain. Jesus shows up. But I want you to notice something. In the first account in Luke chapter 5, he tells them to launch out into the deep. He tells Peter to do that. Here, he says, drop the net on the right-hand side of the boat. Why is that? For 3.5 years, the disciples followed Jesus. They were healed. They were repaired. They were being prepared to do great things in the kingdom. And they had to go deep with Jesus. And I want to submit to us, just as those nets were launched into the deep, that there's a call for us to go deep with Jesus Christ. One of the reasons why we don't experience breakthrough and see the supernatural and miracles is because we're not willing to go deep in our relationship with the Lord, deep in our prayers, deep in our fasting, deep in our commitment, deep in our surrender, whatever it may be that the Lord's requiring. We have to move beyond the surface and go deep with him. And what happens is during this time of being prepared, of being healed and repaired and prepared, they come to the point where Jesus had left them. And remember in Luke's account, he told them that he bestowed upon them a kingdom, so they knew that they would be continuing his ministry. But what ends up happening here is it specifically says in verse 7 that the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." In other words, Peter, don't you remember when Jesus did this 3.5 years earlier? Like, this is Jesus again, even though they didn't recognize him. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. The other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then it says, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Now it continues, and it says, Simon Peter went up. Listen to this, verse 11, very important. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, this is what he says, the net was not broken. Wow. The writer, John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, specifically says the net was not broken. The first account, the net was broken. The net did tear. Here, 3.5 years later, the net is not broken. Why did the writer find it so essential to mention that specific detail? May I submit to us today that there is a work that God wants to take us on, a work of reparation, of healing the brokenness in our lives, those areas in our marriages, in church relationships, with family and friends, whatever it may be, that he wants to bring healing to us in order that he can bring us to a place that when we do fish, the net does not tear. In other words, he wants to mend us, to send us. He wants to do this work in preparing us so that he can use us for his purposes. There are really three types of churches in the world. The first church that I want to speak about is, I'll just call it the first church of the torn fishing net. Now, that church is actually a very valid church. The focus of that church is to bring healing and restoration. Now, I want you to think of it this way. You walk into this first church of the torn fishing net, and as you walk in, you see up on the wall, there is mounted a beautiful fishing net. As you scan, you know, meticulously looking at that net, you notice that there's not a single break in the net at all. And as you begin to have conversations, you find out that this was a net that was once broken, but they had done such a great job in repairing it and mending it that it was now no longer broken. And of course, I'm being facetious, but this speaks about many people's lives and how there are good churches out there that do a work of healing. They bring people on the journeys to see inner healing, to experience deliverance, physical healing, whatever it may be, freedom from addiction, freedom from torment and mental health issues, whatever it might be. And that's a great ministry. That's a valid ministry. We need to see that. But if it stops there and it doesn't go beyond that, then we are just like the first church of the torn fishing net. What happens is we are repaired, we are healed, we're made whole, but we're not being useful in God's kingdom. And as I said earlier, the Lord wants to mend us. Why? So he can send us. He wants to mend us of our misery so he can move us into our ministries. He has a purpose for our lives. And like that fishing net that was literally torn, but yet it was mended, we go on the journey with God and we allow him to equip us, kartartizo, to mend us, to make us whole in order to prepare us so that when we do go out and fish, when we are released, that we literally are in a state now where literally the net will not break. Think about that. Wow. What a beautiful picture. The net will not break. We're made whole. God entrusts us with his kingdom mission and assignment, and he makes us whole. This is what it's all about. We're called to be a church that literally brings people into that on that healing journey. So they're equipped, they're made whole, but they're prepared and they're literally empowered and resourced to be able to go and to catch fish. So it's not an either or, it's a both and journey. And conversely, if all we do is teach people how to evangelize, how to go out on mission trips, but we don't address the brokenness in their lives, obviously that's not going to be a healthy pattern either. So I want to just stop there and we'll continue on this teaching, but I want you to just consider this teaching in light of Ezekiel. Before God would call the prophet to literally prophesy to these bones and, you know, that the four winds would come, the breath of God, the pneuma of God would be released, there's a work of healing. There's a work of reparation. We're going to see next time that I share with you. Hopefully that won't be long and Lynn and I will be with you soon. We're still looking for a home. Nothing has been actually confirmed as of the time of this recording, which is Saturday afternoon. But continue to pray for us, please. We do have a home exactly where the Lord wants us to be. And yes, we are believing that he will give us that. And so thank you for partnering with us in your prayers. But guys, the next time we're going to jump into this, we're going to actually look at not only did the Lord actually bring healing to the bones in the sense of strengthening the bones, but there's a work of connecting and bringing the bones together so that they're not just individual bones, but they're actually form a skeleton, a structure, a body. So we'll continue on that theme. But just want to challenge you, what areas in your life need healed? Are there areas in your life that you still need Jesus to heal you? Are there areas in which you don't have the freedom that God wants you to experience? Is there something in your life that literally would hinder God using you to be able to do all that he's called you to do? That's not a terrible thing. It's not to bring any type of condemnation or shame on you. It's just to highlight that, as we said earlier, to deal with our complacency, to awaken our conscience so that we can begin to address those areas in our life so that we can change. Is there something in your life that would disqualify you or make you not able to support the weight that God wants to bestow upon you, to carry his glory? You know, the Hebrew word for glory, kabod, literally means weight. We need to be able to support the weight of his glory. If there's something in your life that needs healed, that needs mended, allow him to do that. Amazing people. Allow him to do that. Sunshine Coast, disciples of Jesus, sons and daughters of the Most High God. He loves you so much, and he wants to do amazing things in your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. We love you so much. Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to the earth. And when he was on the earth 2,000 years ago, he walked among us in the days of his flesh, and he exemplified, he showcased, he modeled, he showed us what a man who was fully submitted and whole, who knew who his father was, who knew his identity, knowing he was a son, how he lived, and what he was capable of doing. So we thank you that Jesus, even though he is God, he's very God of God, that when he came to the earth, he took on humanity. He literally became incarnate, and he shared in our frailties, in our sufferings, in our infirmities. He was tempted. He was tested. And Lord, we just thank you that you did all of that for us. You overcame so that we can see that we can overcome as well. We give you honor, and I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and you would just begin to minister to the areas of brokenness in people's lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would just highlight those areas. You would bring conviction, Lord, so that we would be able to identify those areas that need to be submitted to your Lordship, that need to be mended, to me to be healed. And we thank you for that, Lord, for repentance, for restoration, for renewal, and Lord Jesus, for ultimately being restored to your image and likeness so we can represent you on the earth. I speak a blessing over your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.